Think of it this way. God calls us very directly, very specifically. And God is in charge of the message that we are to preach. We don't have to invent a message. We have to create a message. We don't even have to Google a message. Because the Lord says that you and I need to stand for righteousness and for what is right.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 11th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Resisting God's Call. And our text comes to us from Jonah chapter 1. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this morning I thought I would go ahead and do a couple of things I've not done in a long time. And that's, we're going to go through the whole book of Jonah, but on today and the next two Sundays. Jonah's an interesting book in the Old Testament. And it's a book that can be funny at times, and little children often remember the story of Jonah and the whale. Of course, it was never a whale, it was a big fish. But nevertheless, it's quite a story. And this morning, I'd like to address the whole subject of your life and my life and running away from doing what God wants us to do. Have you ever been there? Because I have. Where the Lord speaks to you and they say, go here, and we go somewhere else. So let's look at Jonah chapter 1. And this book is one of the so-called minor prophets in the Old Testament. And it's full of meaning and full of symbolism. And also it's a message for today. Let's go into the text. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Montebello, or whatever city you want, you know, and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lots fell on. Can you say your name? Now you need to say your name. Instead of Jonah, say your name, will you? Thank you. Some of you were silent, you know, but anyway. So they asked him again, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? I'm from Mexico. I'm from Argentina. I'm from Nicaragua. I'm from here. I'm from there. What is your country? From what people are you? Well, a bunch of questions, huh? And then he says, well, I am a Christian, and I worship the Lord in the city of Montebello. Well, he answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not let us, hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, finally, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, this is a wonderful tale, wonderful passage of scripture that talks to us about God's calling and when we resist God's call in our lives. Now, I don't believe that for a moment that the Lord has stopped calling people. For a moment do I believe that God's not calling you and me to do things that we may not want to do, but yet he calls us to do them. And the call was very clear from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. It doesn't say how it came, but it came. And with very specific directions, he says, go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. There's no doubt to what God wanted Jonah to do. It was very clear and very direct. He was to go to Nineveh and preach against its wickedness. Think of it this way. God calls us very directly and very specifically. And God is in charge of the message that we are to preach. We don't have to invent a message. We have to create a message. We don't even have to Google a message. Because the Lord says that you and I need to stand for righteousness and for what is right. And this city was wicked. It was bad. It was evil. And today God speaks to you and speaks to me for us to stand for good and for us to denounce wickedness in our midst and for us to speak the truth. And he calls you and me to do specific things, specific tasks. It may not be for you to go out there in the parking lot with a big old horn and saying the end of the world is coming. But wherever you and I live, we have a Nineveh to respond to. There's a call of God for us to speak in our families, in our gatherings, to what is right and what is not right. Not as a Berinsky, but as a servant of the Lord, to shine the light where it needs to be shined. To show people that there's a better way to live than they're living at that moment. And that God has paid attention and noticed as to how often people within our own circles do not want to have anything to do with God. And God so speaks and says, you let them know that I'm going to come and I'm going to deal with those issues in life. So God calls you to specific tasks. God also calls you to specific ministries within the body of Christ. And he also calls you to do certain things. God doesn't take a long siesta. As a matter of fact, he never sleeps. He never takes a siesta. We are the ones who take siestas. The Lord never sleeps. The Lord is always acting, and he's looking for you and me to simply engage those issues that he wants us to address for the world today. So I'm asking you a question. When was the last time that you heard God calling you to do something? And when was the last time that you responded to him? Sometimes it gets muddled, you know. What is God saying? How is God speaking? You know, it's when the Lord puts something in your heart and then all of a sudden you want to run away from it. You know that God has spoken for you to do something that you don't want to do. Verse 3 is just amazing because Jonah, like so many, ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. By the way, Tarshish is, some people, scholars believe it's a place of Spain. So we're going to be running away to Spain, but not because we're fulfilling the scriptures, another reason altogether. But he ran away. And so at least he didn't stand still, except he went contrary to what God wanted him to do. He had the ability to go against God's will in his own life. And one of the reasons, many scholars agree, that Jonah did not go to Nineveh, as the Lord indicated, is because he hated the people in Nineveh. He hated them. He couldn't stand them. He just didn't have nothing to do with them. I mean, it was Assyria, the enemies of God, and the Assyrians in those days were worse than the Nazis of Germany of the concentration camps. They would peel their enemies and would put them in a stake in the open sun and let them burn, and horrible torture people, horrible. And now all of a sudden God's saying their wickedness is so bad, go and tell them to repent, because if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah says, I'm not going to do that. Let them die. Let them die. Shows the attitude, doesn't it? How we sometimes can't put it in our minds that those people who do the most harm are the ones that actually for whom Christ died for. And that the people in our circle of acquaintances that we can't stand, but those are the people the Lord will send us so that we can say to them, come to Christ. And we don't pick our assignments. The assignments pick us. And the Lord calls us to be a witness in the midst of a troubled generation today. So Jonah ran away from the Lord and hid somewhere else. His reaction, immediate reaction, was to flee in the opposite direction of God's call. Of course, that's never happened to you, you know. Yeah, I know, you're not called to Nineveh, but you're called in your own family circles, and you're called within a nucleus of people. And the Lord put words in your heart and in your mind to address those issues, and when you don't address them, it's the same thing as you, instead of going to Nineveh, you go to Tarshish. You go somewhere else. You move away. You move away. We all run away from difficult tasks. We all run away from things that we don't want to do. But there's something about God, that he calls us to do a task that he can do through us. So what is stopping your Nineveh encounter? What is stopping you from going to where God has ordained you to go, has commanded you to go? That circle of people and friends that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is stopping you from being a witness, able witness for the glory of the Lord? Some people are simply afraid. Afraid of encountering contradictions and not being excluded from the circle, rejection, discomfort. Who knows what is going on in your heart that you resist what God wants you to do, God's call in your life. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord to review the way in which you have developed an attitude towards God's call in your life, and how he's asking you to do things that you may not want to, but he's still asking you to do them even to this very same day. So we need to encourage ourselves and say, you know, this idea of having concerns or fears or discomfort or even lack of faith is common. So that's not a pretext for me to walk away from what God is calling me to do. I'm going to go ahead and move on. I'm going to plunge ahead. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to do what needs to be done because you've put this in my heart to do for your glory. And when you do that, then God begins to work in your life. But there's so many of us who will follow the pattern of Jonah, that we flee away and we say, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, there are many ways in which we can understand, you know, your own volition, your own idea of saying, I am not going to do this because I have my own will. And yes, you do have will. You can say no to God. You can say, I'm not going to do this, Lord. And God respects your willingness not to do his will. You know, it's amazing how God understands this and how he gives you space to work things out. But to a certain point. Because eventually, God comes to grips, and you have to come to an understanding that God is sovereign and that God is going to work in your behalf and that he is going to make things happen in your midst of circumstances so that you may have a different approach to life. It's self-determination is there. When the Lord created you and me, he did not create robots. He gave us the ability to say yes and no, to choose. Free will, it's called. And you can do whatever you want to do. But then you have to answer for what you do. It's not that you can do whatever you want to do and there are no consequences. No, there's a God of a universe. There's a God of morals. There's a God of justice, a God who will pursue you, a God who will show you that this is the way and that you get a chance to choose the blessings or the cursings. You look so happy this morning. But you can say no. But then God will hold you responsible. Because ultimately, we are his creation, and we are in his hands, and we are to do what he wants us to do. So you and I need to ask ourselves, what am I doing? Why am I avoiding God's will in my life? What areas of my life am I avoiding? What areas of my life am I saying no to? What areas of my life I'm going against God? What is it inside of me that causes me to say no when God said go to Nineveh? So we take it upon ourselves and we run away from what God wants us to do. Oh boy. Yeah. Well, there's a consequence for running away from those things that God calls us to do. So it could be an immediate task, could be an immediate circumstance. It could be a ministry that God is calling you to. It could be whatever. And we say no. Well, then God takes care of us. God gives us enough rope to hang ourselves, so to speak. He gives us freedom to do certain things, but eventually something happens. And so what happened in our text in verses 4 through 10 is that the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea, and such violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. I like company, I like friends, but I don't ever want to be around people who are not doing God's will because they carry a big storm. And I get caught in their storm. And my life gets all shaken up. And I say, what's going on? When you're not doing God's will, the known God's will, when God knows, when you know God's call you do and you disobey him, you attract storms in life. So the storm that came as a consequence of Jonah's disobedience running away from God didn't only affect him. It affected everybody around him in the boat. The storm was a direct result of Jonah's attempt to flee from God. I think we have the ability to create unstable weather all around us. And when we're not doing God's will, when we know we're supposed to do, things begin to shape around us. And it's disobedience to the known will of God has a far-reaching consequence. When God says, come and do this, or God calls you and God puts in your heart to do things and then you say, I will not do this. I'm going to run away from what God wants me to do. You endanger the life of those around you. And all of a sudden, people don't want to be around you because wherever when they get close to you, they're not happy with you because you're not happy with them. And there's a disobedience that impacts just not your own personal life, but the life of those who are around you. And those people are miserable because of your disobedience to God's call upon your life. So the discipline of the Lord, while it's difficult, is often the only way to bring us back to his will. And so God allows things to happen in our lives when we're living in disobedience so that we will come back to him. Things begin to shake. I mean, how much God loves us that he provokes a storm in our lives. How much he loves us that he just commands the seas and the waves and the wind just so that you would pay attention and do what is best for you and for the people whom God is sending you. So this is it. Sometimes the storms in our life have come to us because we have said no to God's calling in our lives and hearts. Yeah, it's one of those Sundays. Okay, brothers, don't worry. We'll move on. Verses 11 through 16. This is when the sailors are wondering, why are things wrong in our lives? Why are things not working right? Why? Why? And they got concerned. And sometimes, you know, you ask yourself the question, why are things not going right? Well, the sailors asked that question, and the more they tried to answer, the storm would get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then finally, Jonah comes to that place in his life, and he acknowledges his responsibility, and he offers himself to save others. The sailors, of course, were very reluctant to throw him overboard, and they pleaded with God, and they talked to God, and all the things that you see in the text. But interestingly, the key is that the sailors, who were in the midst of that storm, began to offer sacrifices to God. It's amazing how God works things out. Because the trouble you're causing because of your disobedience to God, God can sometimes use it to bring people to Christ. Well, taking responsibility and repenting for the actions that we've taken or actions we have not taken takes us to a place where God can really take the failures of our life and bring others to faith. And that leads us to the sovereign God who will have it his way. You can fight God all you want, but God will always win. You can push God, but God is there. And there are certain things that God will do regardless of our attitude and regardless of what we do. There are other things that will not happen if you don't do them, but there are some that God insists that will be done. And in this case, Jonah had to understand that God was sovereign and that he could not run away from God's call in his life. That what God was asking him to do was so important, again, that the storm was brought. See, we run away from God and we always are going to find a travel agent to take us away from where God's destination for our lives is. There's always going to be someone who will take our money to take us away from the point of serving God. There's always going to be something to move us away from that which you know and God knows you're supposed to do. But eventually, you get into that boat and the storm comes, and then the only remedy, my friends, is to throw you overboard. Some of us need to be thrown overboard in times. And it's not a nice dip in the water. It's not a nice endless pool. It's not a nice soft landing. And verses 11 through 16, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Jonah replied, and it will become calm. And then he says, I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So here we find Jonah coming to grips with the reality of a sovereign God who calls and whose call has to be respected. That when God calls upon you for something and God engages you to do for his glory something that you may not want to do, you must still do it, for he is God. So he says, okay, the way that we can calm the situation is throw me overboard. And so reluctantly at the beginning, the sailors throw Joshua overboard. And that calmed the sea. And the scripture says that the sailors began to sacrifice and give thanks to God. And it's amazing how God takes even our disobedience and he moves it and rearranges so that others may be glorified in the process of it all. So repentance for not doing what you know God wanted you to do, taking responsibility as a grown-up Christian, as a Christian in the route of maturity, knowing that what God wants, we must give, because it's for the betterment of not only his glory, but our own lives, points to a God who is in charge and points to a God who is asking and demanding of us. And for us to say no to him will eventually lead us in a boat full of troubles, a boat that can sink, but a boat that will also offer us nothing more than the salvation of our lives. So our disobedience, though tough as it may be, God will use it. God will use your disobedience and my disobedience. It's not the best way to do it, but he will use whatever circumstance you're going through and will use it for his glory. God never loses a battle. So verse 17, which is the last verse of this chapter that we read today, he says, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we'll talk much about that next week, when what all of that means. But let me just say to you that when you and I finally decide to serve God, he will provide a fish. You will not drown. You're going to be awfully uncomfortable inside of the stomach of a big fish. And it's not going to smell nice. And it's not going to be very comfortable. But God will not throw you out to die, but he will discipline you. And the fish is always a symbol of judgment, but it's also a vessel of God's mercy. God will not utterly destroy you because you're running away from him. He will insist, and he will walk in your life and talk in your heart, and he will provide ways in which you can land safely to do his will, because his will must become your will. So this morning, as I'm concluding my remarks on chapter 1 of Jonah, may I ask the question, where is the fish that you have been given? And you, some of you look like you're guppies inside of a big, huge old stomach. What is it that you have been running away from? What is it that you just, for whatever reasons, you're saying no to God? What ministry are you not fulfilling? What call is being left behind? What are you running away from? How far have you gone? You know, no matter how far you've gone, God is ready to provide a way back in the belly of the big fish. So, gee, you look so happy. So, this morning, I invite you to look to your right and to your left. To your right or to the left, you will see the waters that are moving. And instead of us throwing you, why don't you throw yourself overboard? And say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to run away anymore. I am going to be a witness to the Nineveh of my life. Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand up in the middle of my family and witness to you with such severity that I would somehow, one way or the other, point to their inadequacies and their wickedness in life. Lord, I don't want to, you know, stand up like that as a sore thumb at work, and people begin to understand that I'm a Christian. And Lord, I you know, there's so many different ways in which we can be disobedient to God's call in our lives. But then when we even come to the church, the ministries of the church and the needs of the church, to say, I want to do things for the Lord, and God calls you to do something, and for whatever reasons you say no. Well, let me just simply encourage you this morning to trust in the Lord. Encourage you to throw yourself at the mercy of God and to turn back to him and to say, Lord, there are things that you've called me to do that I have not acted on, or that I have run away. I have run away, and nobody even knows that I'm running away, but I'm running away. But today, Lord, I'm coming back. I want to simply place my life in your hands and hear your voice again. I want to hear the command to go to Nineveh, to go to those places that need to hear your word. Help me to be a witness of your glory. So we want to close in prayer, asking the Lord to give us courage to follow God's call, and courage to trust in his mercy, and courage to accept his guidance, that no matter how tough things may be or what assignment the Lord has for us, that we will follow through because there will be guidance and there will be mercy. And God will provide that fish. They will provide a soft landing for some of us. Some of us will have a hard landing, but we'll provide a landing so that we can fulfill God's call in our life. And as you read through the whole chapter of this book, actually the whole book's got four chapters, as you read it, you see how this prophet was always kind of petulant, was always kind of having an axe to grind, and yet God still used him for his glory. Because there's something about God working through our personalities, trying to shape us and change us, but he still uses us as people, as individuals. And there's a place in your life where there's a Nineveh that needs to be conquered, a Nineveh that needs to hear your words. So far you've resisted it, now stop resisting it and throw yourself at the mercy of God and say, I'm going to go to Nineveh one way or the other, and I'm going to fulfill God's call in my life for his glory. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and for addressing those issues that need to be addressed. We thank you, Lord, for Jonah so many years ago. We thank you, Lord, that you've done a work in his life, and we pray that you will also provide, yes, Lord, that you will provide a big fish that when we jump, we're thrown overboard and the storms will calm down and the winds will come down. And this peace that we can look around and see your presence and see the impact, Lord, of obeying your word. Father, we pray that you will forgive us for bringing chaos in the lives of those around us because we have not fulfilled your word. We have not been obedient to your call. But we pray that today, Lord, as we renew our vows to you and we renew our commitment in following you and understanding you, that we will be immersed in your glory and in your strength, that we will be able, Lord, to recover that which was lost. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we know that you will do a great work in our lives as we, again, rethink and refocus and move on to do that which you've called us to do. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you for Jonah. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. We renew our commitment to you. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me?
And renew a right spirit within.
You know, when the Lord spoke to Jonah, Jonah didn't stay where he was. He moved somewhere except the opposite direction, you know. So when God speaks to you and he calls you, go the direction the Lord wants you to go. Go face your Ninevehs. Go face those issues. Fulfill God's call. Fulfill his ministry in your life. As small as you think it is, as insignificant as it may be, follow God's voice and you will come out on the other side. I would like for all of us to be spared the big fish. But some of you look like carnada for the big fish. We'll talk about that next week. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to watch the entire service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you'd like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.